The reality is that, yes, at the start of the story, he is doubting Thomas, but by the end of the passage, Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Here's a man who starts as a doubter, and yet he moves to someone with a definite faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For many people, they're stuck in the doubting Thomas phase, the doubting Thomas stage. But this portion of Scripture tonight shows us that it is possible to move from being a doubter to being definite in your faith. So much so that church history actually tells us that Thomas went eventually as a missionary to India and was martyred for his faith. He was run through with spears, no less, by Hindu priests who wanted rid of him and didn't want to hear him preaching Christ. So this man is not someone that we're meant to hold up and revere as full of doubts and what a wonderful thing this is. But here's a man who we're taught, yes, was full of doubts, but moved to a place of definite faith and conviction. And so tonight I want us to zoom in on Thomas and to see just what we can learn, how this is possible to move from being doubtful to being definite in our faith. Before we get there, just let me say, just by way of a little sidebar, that we sometimes come across folk who indulge themselves in what we might say false faith or false assurance about their salvation. The prophet Jeremiah said about the human heart that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it or who can understand it? Paul said in Galatians 6, if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And one of the best examples of this type of person is the Pharisee in Jesus' parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, because the Pharisee is in the place of worship in the Jerusalem temple. He's praying, he's fasting, he's tithing, but Jesus says he prays with himself. And he goes home not justified before God, even though he himself regarded himself as the most righteous man in the city of Jerusalem. So it's no wonder that Job says in chapter 8, the hypocrite's hope shall perish. And Peter says in 2 Peter 1 verse 10, make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So tonight as we come to think about assurance, we are warned in the Word of God not to build our lives upon false assurance, not to be hypocrites, pretending that we're okay when we're not okay. Here tonight we have in the story of Thomas true assurance that we might, in this encounter between him and Christ, understand how true assurance comes about and how we can indeed be sure of our salvation as we find it in the Lord. So let's look this evening at three ways in which assurance, through which assurance comes or upon which assurance rests. First of all, assurance rests upon the work of Christ, verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. When Jesus Christ held out his hand for Thomas to inspect, it was clearly that Thomas would see the scar on his hand now healed. When Christ maybe pulled up his garment and showed Thomas the side into which the Roman soldier had plunged his spear, again it was to show Thomas the wound from the cross. Christ was pointing Thomas to the work on the cross, what had been accomplished on the cross. He was pointing Thomas to the fact that Christ had died on the cross, literally. His blood had stopped pumping in his veins, as we said this morning. The breath had left his body. Jesus prayed to God on the cross, into your hands receive my spirit. And he yielded up the ghost. And Christ had died on the cross, most definitely. His death was a death that was for you and for me. Your guilt, your shame and sin were taken by Christ. My guilt, my shame, my sin were taken by Christ. As he made reconciliation between men and women and between God, the new life that is now available as the sinner is set free through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And still today, for assurance of faith, you have to look to the cross of Christ. I have to look to the cross of Christ. Jesus said in John 19, verse 30, when he received the drink, he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And we talk about the finished work of Christ. Hebrews 9 says, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now you hear that term, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And also Hebrews 9 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, not by animal sacrifices, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So as Jesus says to doubting Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Jesus is saying to Thomas, Thomas, you need to look at the finished work of the cross if you want to find a definite faith and move out of this place of doubt. The second means of finding assurance of faith is to depend upon the word of God. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. It's certainly true that the word of man can let you down. And sometimes the word of man can let you down badly. Many's a one, there's been stories of these lately in the news, many's a one who has been phoned by one of those scammers with a whole cock and bull story. And they've transferred their life savings to some bank account in Africa or India or somewhere, and they've lost all their life savings because they've trusted in the word of some fraudster. And it's a tragedy when that happens. But when Jesus Christ says, stop doubting and believe, and remember these are the days just after the resurrection, Jesus is calling Thomas to put his faith into the word as Christ speaks it to him. Psalm 118 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 28 says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. And the wise man trusts in the word of God. The wise woman trusts in the word of God. Hebrews 6 says, it is impossible for God to lie. And goes on to say, we have a strong consolation, we who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So false assurance rests upon what men and women say, but true assurance comes through trusting what God has said. That's why Jesus says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. You need to trust my word tonight, Thomas. You need to take this word as the word of God, Thomas. You need, Thomas, to believe what I'm saying to you. Many a person simply will not believe the word of God as it comes to them. And that's a tragedy. But if you would find assurance, if you would find certainty about salvation, you've got to look to the finished work of Christ and you've got to trust the word of God. The third means of finding assurance. We've talked about the work of Christ and the word of God. There's the witness of the Holy Spirit, verse 22. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. There's the tie. The Spirit and forgiveness are tied together. I'm sure most, if not all of us, have been following the rape trial that concluded this week of the four men in Belfast, two of them international rugby players. And in any trial, the testimony of a witness is crucial to the making or breaking of a case. And if the police are trying to secure a conviction, if they get a credible witness, they know they're well on the way to a certain conviction. And here we have a great reminder in Scripture that Christianity is not something that is worked up on earth, but Christianity is something that is sent down from heaven. Paul says in Romans 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Jesus, when he talked about salvation, he said to Nicodemus, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. The true Christian has the Spirit of God inside them. That's why they are born from above, from God. And John says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And Galatians 4 says, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. How do you know if the Spirit is there? Well, the Shorter Catechism, question 36, gives us the answer. It talks about the benefits that flow from our salvation. And it lists them as follows: assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance to the end. Assurance of God's love, joy in the Holy Spirit, peace of conscience, increase of grace, perseverance to the end. In his little book on Bible topics, John Edison gives a similar summary. He says this: sooner or later, the Holy Spirit will begin to make his presence felt in the heart and life of the person who has trusted in Christ for salvation. He will give an inner certainty that we belong to Christ. He will create within us a new outlook and attitude, a hatred of sin, a new power to fight it, a love for other Christians, an enjoyment of prayer and Bible reading. And A.A. Hodge, one of the great theologians of the church, lists the fruit of the Spirit. He talks about sincere humility, a lifestyle in keeping with a man or woman of God, openness to being corrected, and yearning for deeper fellowship with God. These are all marks of the Spirit in a life. I remember years ago coming home in the train from Belfast, and as the train pulled into Antrim station, the announcer said on the tannoy system that we're now about to enter Antrim station. And a man, I can see him yet, he jumped to his feet. I thought he had been sleeping. He had his eyes closed, but he jumped to his feet and he said, Antrim, I thought this was the train to Dublin. And he jumped off and hopped off the train, and he had to wait then for the train going back down again. But you know, he had sat the whole way from Belfast to Antrim and sincerely believed that he was on the Dublin train. He was sincerely wrong. Sincerely wrong. And many's a one believes themselves to be saved, but there's no fruit. They may have prayed a prayer at some meeting or other. They may have in some way engaged in church activity, but Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know them. Humility, godliness, an appetite for the things of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul called these the fruit of the Spirit. Let me ask before I close, does this mean that every Christian experiences rock-hard assurance all the time? From this time forth, was Thomas never to doubt again, never to have any struggles, never to slip and fall? And certainly what I've said this evening about looking to the cross of Christ and trusting in the Word of God and experiencing the witness of the Holy Spirit, these are all key to being sure and are necessary. You can't have one without the others. All must be there for the production of assurance. But in the Bible, I do find people who sometimes limped along in their faith. Like the man in Mark chapter 9 who said to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. I find Peter at the arrest of Jesus, denying Jesus 3 times and then going out weeping in shame for what he had done. I hear David praying in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He had once been up there with God, but the joy had evaporated. Psalm 88, why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? At the Last Supper, I read about the disciples. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." There were doubts in their minds. And that's why I read in 2 Peter chapter 1, make your calling and election sure. As if you can be unsure at times of your calling and of your election. So make it sure as you go through maybe seasons of difficulty or of doubt or of distress. The Westminster Confession of Faith says believers can have their faith shaken, diminished, and intermitted, which means that it can go through periods of stop-start. Your faith can be shaken, it can be diminished, it can go stop-start. Through negligence, says the confession, through sin, through temptation, through God withdrawing the light of his face for a season, through suffering. But it goes on to say, yet are they never utterly destitute. By the operation of God's Spirit, this assurance may in due time revive. And in the meantime, they are supported from utter despair. The Lord knows them that are his, and the true believer may be unsure, yet even in his sore distress, he finds himself. And often this is what you find with people who are true believers. In their distress, in their suffering, in their temptation, in their struggles, they're the people that are still crying out after God. The hypocrite is living his life and thinks he's okay. But the true believer may be going through a time of a lack of assurance, and you know them because they're still crying out after God. Lord, why have you forsaken me? In conclusion then this evening, let me remind you, Thomas went from being doubting Thomas to being definite Thomas. So much so that, as I say, the legend is he was stabbed to death by Hindu priests with spears. And you might say, well, it was all very well for Thomas. He had Christ in front of him. If only I could have Jesus Christ standing in front of me physically, then my faith would be definite. But look at what Jesus says in verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. There is a blessedness that is even greater than seeing Christ in the flesh. There is a richness, there is a happiness that comes from trusting God's word, even when you cannot see God or the Savior yourself. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Or maybe you're one of those who say the Bible's not enough, it's not convincing enough, and you want more revelation to convince you and to be sure. But verse 30 says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. In other words, this book is actually enough. The 66 books of Old and New Testament are enough. You don't need any more revelation. All that's needed for faith and assurance for faith is contained here, that by believing you may have life in his name. And there's the promise, life in his name, eternal life. Stop doubting and believe. And when Thomas did that, he was able to say to Jesus, my Lord and my God. I wonder tonight, do you wish you could say that? My Lord and my God. You can do. You can be sure of salvation. And to be sure, some Christians, they never doubt their salvation at all. Some have a strong sense of assurance. Others go through times of doubting. But you'll never know whether you will, whichever type of Christian you will be, until you look to Jesus and confess him as your Lord and as your God. And look to the cross and look to God's word and ask for the Spirit's witness. These are God's given methods of saving us and of strengthening us and moving us on to stronger and more definite faith. don't stick with Thomas as doubting Thomas as I close tonight. Many a person just simply kind of hangs around with Thomas, don't they? And they think, well, that's my type of faith. I'm just full of doubts all the time. Remember, he went to being definite Thomas. Move on in your faith. Make your calling and election sure. And if you're not saved tonight, well, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose from the dead for you. This is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. Life comes through believing in his name. Believe in it tonight. And you will be saved. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you strengthened Lord Thomas with sure and certain faith in the resurrection of your Son. And Father, we pray that you will grant to us to believe wholly and without doubt, that our faith may never be wanting in your sight. And though we go through times of difficulty and struggle, help us, Father, not to lose assurance of our faith, but to make our calling and election sure. Father, we thank you that Jesus lives and reigns forevermore, that with you and with the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, Father, there is a power, there is a strength, there is a spirit. Father, we thank you that you grant certainty, you grant assurance. Help us, our Father, we pray, to trust you for that. Father, hear us as we continue in our service in Jesus' name. Amen.